Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Ben Reichle.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK Live telephone talk show, On the Mark. Mark Lawrence here. Ben Reichle is across from me. He's a fine local business person, LB Water, the company where you can find him, where he's the owner. And
218 other folks.
Wow, you got to keep track of this kind of stuff.
Yeah,
fantastic.
Yeah,
all right,
since
that's
1970.
ESOP, right? Employee-owned special operational plant. Fantastic.
Since 1970, right. Serving the subsurface water infrastructure industry.
Well, I need a hydrant in my backyard, I told
you.
We'll
get you one.
We're
going
to have to negotiate.
We'll get you American Standard hydrant, formerly manufactured in Williamsport under American Darling, now manufactured in Alabama, but we can get you one, Mark. It'll look good. The birds will like to sit on it and probably do something else on it, too. But, yeah, right. We'll get you one.
On the other side of the glass is Rob Center, a fabulous producer, and so we appreciate all his hard work. And to my immediate left is Bob Garrett, the president and CEO of the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce. He's wearing his black chamber polo shirt and the name tag, so you must have a meeting today.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Governmental affairs at lunchtime.
Oh, I see. Okay.
He is the straw that stirs the chamber's drink.
Okay. Good to know. We don't have too much of that at lunch today. All right. And we have Mr. John Euling with us. We know him as the man who makes our phones work here, Contrast Communications. And he's also chairman of the chamber. You got a couple of months left in your chairmanship.
I have through the end of the year, and then I'm replaced by Sue Green from Penn State World Campus.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you're irreplaceable. I can just mention it right now. And please come back on our shows because we like your commentary and what you add to our labor discussions, too. So that's always interesting. So that's the panel of the cast of characters on the mark, brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. We're going to be talking about our jobless rate here. We got our labor participation rate. That's finally back up. The very definition of bouncing along the bottom is what we're describing there. And so we're going to analyze some of these jobless numbers. And then we're going to be hearing about an effort by some smart Democrats to make sure that in middle managers who work a lot of overtime get some pay, but you're not going to see a lot of acceptance from Republicans or chambers of commerce or things along that line. So we'll talk about that. We have a guest call in. And then during the 9 a.m. hour, Joe Kansas checking in. He'll talk about the Houses of Worship active shooter training that's coming up. They're still looking for some participants in that. All right, so that's our panel for the next 90 minutes. Our Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line is open. If you want to comment on the joblessness in the U.S. right now or lack thereof, call us 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com. We would just love to hear from you. And you can text us at 70236. Those hometown pharmacies are the Shade Mountain Pharmacy in Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Danville Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. That's the organization. Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg is the place that's right in the downtown, and they would just very much like to talk to you about how to be super served by a pharmacist or a pharmacy that really knows what they're doing. And that's
true trickle-down economics.
At the Trutz Pharmacy.
At all four of these hometown pharmacies.
How about it?
Spend it here. It trickles into the communities, and it's all very positive, and even the other stores can get their share, but true trickle-down economics is when you spend local.
So it's a real deal, huh?
It's reality. Some people think it's not, but it's reality. If you build it, buy it, spend it here, it majority of it stays here. So it's the definition of trickle-down economics.
All right, we're looking at the Associated Press saying hiring picked up in August as U.S. employers added a strong 201,000 jobs. This is the truth here, folks. It says a sign of confidence that consumers and businesses will keep spending, despite the Trump administration's conflicts with U.S. trading partners. Boy, that's a loaded statement. We'll get reaction. We'll start with the president.
It seems like the president of the chamber, not the president of the United States there.
He's not calling in today.
You scared me there for a second when you pointed that pen my direction.
But
yeah, I guess the point is it's hard to talk about economic data without mixing in some politics. The two are hand in hand. We'll be talking about that a little later as we get into a discussion about a new overtime regulation. But let me just respond to these numbers. This is what we were hoping for. This is what we actually predicted. We thought it'd be around 200,000, 201,000. So that's we were pretty close with what we got from the economists. The unemployment rate, 3.9%. Those are historic low numbers. You heard when it was breaking news that this is we're matching where we were well before now the 2008 economic downturn. They're now talking about the year 2000. Pretty soon they're going to be talking about the 1950s and that economic boom. So all good. The one piece we're going to spend a little bit of time on today is the wage increases. A slight tick up, so the right direction with wage increases up 2.9%. If you think about the last decade, it was more like 2%. We're still not exactly. We want to at least have the wage increase match, if not be a slightly better than the consumer price index, the inflation rate. If your wages are raising at a rate lower or less than the inflation rate, you're losing ground. So you always want to try to be gaining ground and getting ahead of the inflation rate. So we'll talk about that as the show unfolds.
John, some joblessness reaction?
I don't think there's any surprises. I agree with Bob on the wage piece. I think it's going to be slower. I think small businesses in general are still playing some catch-up, and wages, unfortunately, are one of those things that kind of fall behind.
All right, so we have to wait for that to happen. Ben, you see any big surprises here?
No surprises from the initial jobs report and unemployment. The participation rate at 62.7 seems to my question is, what's the equation and metrics they judge that on? Because that seems with this economy and that should be higher. I'm not sure what again their equations to put that together. And one thing that a lot of people don't discuss, and especially people who are anti this administration, is what's very interesting about this is if you look at the unemployment rate at 3.9, look at the GDP growth last year, or last quarter, at 4.2. Mm-hmm. So you got gross domestic product higher than the unemployment rate. Mm-hmm. So what's suppressing the wages, and also what's suppressing the participation rate? Those would be questions for, and I'm not sure I'd want to ask an economist. Because economists and meteorologists seem to be the ones that seem not to be able to get it right and still.
Plus, they
still
can get away
employed
with being wrong.
So. Yeah, so it's not like your bookie. They put wrong spreads out. They don't last long. Meteorologists and economists seem to put information out, and they seem to last. But interesting, GDP at a higher growth rate last quarter, and it was ticked up to 4.2% than the unemployment rate. So what's holding the participation rate down would be the question I would have. And we'd let an economist call in and let us know.
Well, probably, how about this, Lawrence, it's worth the speculation, is that you have a lot of individuals that were high wage earners before, lost their jobs in 2007, 2008, and 2009. They do not want to go back to work for $10 to $15 an hour when they were in the $20 to $30 an hour range before.
No, absolutely. They're just not going to compromise.
They're not going to do it. And I personally know people who would just rather stay unemployed. They used to earn $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, got laid off. now they see tons of jobs and signs up there, and their friends tell them on Facebook, hey, they're hiring at, you know, X company.
So what, are they staying unemployed for 10 years?
I know people that have done
that. And are living off the government dole?
I think we have a future of freelancers. I'd be curious how the freelancers are going to be, you know,
counted. What's the equation of counting these? Meaning, if you become a consultant and you're working sometimes or not all the times or this, that, and the other thing, how are they counting in the participation rate? Because right now in California, I know some high-tech companies, they can't get qualified high-tech workers. You know, they just can't get people who can program. They can't get people to do certain things. We even got in this area. We got design. We got advertising marketing companies that are looking for designers. And you know, what they pilfer is they pilfer the quality of a slower life. You know, this you know they'll pilfer the L.A., New York, Atlanta markets, and their catch is, hey, quality of life back here. Come live in Mifflinburg. Have the phone company come out and install, you know, your phone in your home office.
With a cup of coffee.
Yeah, and you could sit there. And get, anyway, so it's sort of different. But I think these numbers are quite interesting. But one thing is, you know, the trade stuff is negotiations. And, you know, they seem not to talk about the dollars bringing in, the United States is bringing in on tariffs. But we're putting the trading partners on notice that, hey, we're going to have some sort of equitable trade. It doesn't have to be 100% the United States. It doesn't even have to be 50-50. It might be 60% for Bob Garrett and 40% for Mark Lawrence, and that works for both countries. But this administration is looking at trade and saying, hold it, we've been over a barrel for decades, and why? We are the market. We're the party, economic party, people want to come to. So there should be some, and when we want to go to your party, Mark, country, we need to be able to get in there.
Labor participation rate.
Yep. So all I wanted to say was that this is a situation, our economy today is a situation where if you have a simple answer or an easy answer, you probably don't understand the problem. This is extremely complex. What the chamber works on day in and day out, whether it's participation rate, whether it's wage increases, is the foundations of business. We try to make an environment, we try to defend an environment in some cases where the foundations to be a successful business are solid. We believe that the pendulum swung a little too far the last decade, and we overregulated the economy. And what we're trying to do is unpeel the onion, if you will, to deregulate the economy. Because just to go back to one example, is the assumption is the folks who are not entering the workforce are the low-paid jobs. Those, I think you used the example, I was making $30 an hour, now I don't want to come back and make $10 an hour. But we're just about to complete our biennial survey with the Chamber of Commerce. And guess what we're finding? Out the where we have the biggest worker shortages in the greater Susquehanna Valley are in the highest paying jobs, not the lowest paying jobs. So that just one more wrinkle in the situation that we need to be working with. But we still believe that we have to work on the foundations of business to have people understand that small business and all business is organic, and if you take nutrients out of that organic mix, the business will not be successful. And that's why we're going to have a call-in guest in a few moments. Oh, now. We're going to have a call-in guest coming on. And we're going to talk about what we're going to be talking about later today at the Governmental Affairs, which is the foundations of business. In this case, new overtime regulations.
All right. We have on the news line with us now, we're glad to say that the guest speaker at today's Governmental Affairs Committee meeting is one of the chamber members. She's Kathy Speaker McNett. And if you know Harrisburg, you know her, and she's an attorney with Skarlatos Zonerich LLC in Harrisburg. So welcome aboard, Kathy, thanks for calling in.
Thank you, Mark and Ben and Bob. It's a pleasure to be with you this morning. I've had a really interesting week. On Wednesday, I was able to present testimony before the House Labor and Industry Committee as part of an industry panel on the proposed regulations under the Pennsylvania Minimum Wage Act. That's the state law that's applicable to minimum wage and overtime. And of course, it has a partner in the Federal Fair Labor Standards Act, the federal law. At one time, if you will, the Pennsylvania Act was kind of a little FLSA. That is, it only applied to small Pennsylvania employers or employers who were not covered under the federal. The way things have shaken out, the federal act now covers virtually everybody, including a lot of nonprofits, under either what's called an enterprise coverage, where you make $500,000 in revenue or more, or under an individual coverage, where the individual employee happens to be working with things that are involved in interstate commerce. And if you think about it, I'm on a telephone right now, you're broadcasting right now, you're sitting no doubt in a conference room where there are tables and things that have come in from other states. So virtually everybody in this day and age is involved in interstate commerce, which is enough to cover individual employees within an enterprise, even if the enterprise itself is not covered. So, as background, in June of this year, proposed regulations were published, and let me emphasize that most of what I'm talking about right now is proposed. It is not yet effective. It is not yet binding. The regs are going through a complicated process in Harrisburg, which applies to all regs. The initial comment period is now over, the initial public comment period. The House decided to hold its hearings. And then the Department of Labor and Industry in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania Department of Labor and Industry, will have the opportunity to revise the regulations if they so desire. After that, there will be the opportunity for the Independent Regulatory Review Commission to consider the recs. So the million-dollar question is probably how long will all of this take, and I can't tell you exactly. I can tell you the process may be months in the making as of today. So what do these regs do? The biggest change in the regs is that they change something called the salary threshold for the Pennsylvania minimum wage law for white-collar exemptions. And I know that's a mouthful. Some people are starting to call the white-collar exemptions the EEPs. And the EEPs would be the executive, the administrative, and the professional exemption. The bottom line on these white-collar exemptions is these are people that are paid a salary on a weekly basis, and then they do not need to be paid overtime under both federal and state law right now. Right now, the salary threshold has come from the federal law. It's $455 a week, and there's a lot of discussion about whether or not that's high enough, whether or not it should be increased. The proposed regulations would actually increase the amount to $610 a week as soon as they're adopted. 1 year later, the amount would increase to $766 a week. And a year after that, or 2 years after adoption, it would go up to $921 a week for the salary. It's interesting because the 610 figure and the 766 figure come right out of the federal regulations, which we thought would be effective several years ago. But those regulations were stayed by a federal court, so they're not in effect. The 921 is actually just a little higher than what the feds were proposing, but it's at a different time. So if you look about increases in the CPI and that sort of thing, you can question whether or not it's really higher or lower, but that gets into a pretty esoteric discussion. What is really important to understand is the 921 figure isn't the final figure. Every third year after the adoption of the 921 figure per week, the salary threshold will increase once again. so that it will continue to increase, whether or not the CPI continues to increase, whether or not wages continue to increase.
All right, well, let me stop you there. I think we got a lot more to say about this, and you're going to talk more about this when the Governmental Affairs Committee meets at noon today at Marzoni's. Chamber members, welcome.
Yep, Chamber, everybody's welcome, really.
Okay, and for folks that are in this classification of workers that may want this to pass, or companies or chambers who say, no, we don't want, you know, the feds or the state meddling in our, you know, our compensation packages, what's a likely outcome? Who should be looking forward to a happy ending here?
It is possible that some of these regulations would increase, which I'm sure would make some workers happy, although I've got to believe that since we're talking just about minimums, that a lot of people in this in these classifications are already higher than these amounts. So it's really hard to tell. It's on an individual basis.
All right, so hard to say. John Euling here, he's the owner of a business. He's the man, as they call him at his shop.
Yeah, sometimes. Hi, Kathy. John Euling, present chair of the Chamber.
Hi, John.
And Contrast Communications. We're a small business. We're 10 employees. This scares me, to be honest. You know, we talk about HR for small businesses, and typically for a small business, that's one of several hats, maybe one of seven or eight hats. And so it really affects, one, how you would increase one's wages. It also affects what type of employees you might hire. So my first inclination would be, and then do you have the process and the tools in place to even track and measure? It's so tough. Everyone wears so many hats. To be able to have to start tracking every single hour versus the actual productivity, it becomes a huge challenge.
Well, what's work and what's not? You know, my job is to take good care of on the market, pay attention. So I watched CNN for 2 hours last night.
Oh. You're exactly right, Mark.
Was I
working?
So I've
got two employees, A and B. Maybe it's Alfred and Bobby. You know, Bobby works at night because he's reading on technology. He's reading on what he needs to do to take the initiative to be a better person. Do I need to pay him overtime?
Well, and these are a lot of the questions that came up. I spent Wednesday with the House Committee, and I spent most of yesterday with a compliance officer for the Federal Department of Labor who administers the FLSA, the Federal Fair Labor Standards Act. And I told her I've developed a phrase that I call the non-compliance trap. And I think you've pointed to it. You don't have a lot of people to keep track of this. So you can intend to comply with both federal and state law, not even know about the differences between the two.
Absolutely.
And wind up what I call clean under one of the laws and dirty under the other. You've fallen into the non-compliance trap. And your intention was to do everything correctly. This law, the federal law, has been in effect for 60 years, and the amount of misunderstanding of that law is absolutely huge. Absolutely.
Okay, and this is Ben Reichle.
Kathy, the question here is, who is this being promoted in reference to increase wages for salary workers that people think are they undercompensated per se, or you get paid, you know, you get paid $50,000 a year plus incentives? Aren't those incentives and fringe benefits? And so now you want to basically make salary workers able to collect overtime?
Well, the federal department looks at incentives, but not necessarily the same way that businesses do. So we're talking here again about absolute minimums for people that fall into these exempt classifications. I'd argue to you that a lot of the people that are receiving salaries as exempt people are not really exempt to start with, and that's one of the problems. But the easiest way I find to understand these exemptions is to go back to some of the old movies where you always had the people on the floor making the widgets or whatever they were making in the factory, and then you always had a stairway on the right, and you had a line of offices up top of that stairway. And those were, at least some of those people up there, maybe the HR director, for example, maybe the president of the organization, were up there. And those were your exempt people.
Well, so is the proposal, let's say salary overtime, so is it time and a half for their overtime based off of their salary, or are these details that need to be worked out? Because I'm in agreement with John. Right now, this is government getting involved in some situations here that I think are just going to topple some mid to smaller businesses in paperwork. And as you said, you know, making the feds happy and not making the states happy, or vice versa. And my question is, if businesses aren't paying people enough, if they don't feel they're compensated enough in this job market, isn't it open for them to go expand their job horizons, as many people have done for centuries, if not decades?
I would agree with you. It's an opportunity for some people to move into perhaps a better paying job, perhaps a job that's a better fit for their skill set, and that's definitely there. I want to emphasize that the reg is talking about an increase in the salary threshold from $455 a week, $455 a week, to these new figures. Some of the things we're talking about, like the regulation, the record keeping, the tracking, are there right now and, frankly, are there to stay. And I think that's another problem for small to medium-sized businesses. I mean, I'm a co-owner of a small business, and I know how difficult
it is. Kathy, this is John again. I guess the other issue I have is even the definition of exempt in today's work world, and increasingly in the work world, of the clear-cut factory worker assembly line versus a manager. We're wearing so many hats. We're working from remote offices. We're working, you know, in some cases, international responsibilities. One hand, you might be doing something that's an hourly role. On the other hand, you're playing a management role. It's not a black and white work world today. So,
I agree with you. This law applied well in a manufacturing industrial economy. I think it applies badly in a service economy.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Kathy. We know a lot of folks will see you at noon today at Marzoni's when the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce has their meeting. Thank you for checking in. Thank you for the explanation about this complicated topic, and lots more needs to be decided. So thanks for your call today.
Thank you, Mark, for the opportunity.
Very much appreciate that. Kathy Speaker McNett, one of the attorneys, highly knowledgeable on issues in Harrisburg as it relates to the overtime for middle managers. Going to really change a lot of businesses around here, really, no matter what. We'll give you the last word on this topic, Bob. Please stay after the top of the hour. We've got to wrap up our chamber discussion, but please, we'll let you wrap up this segment.
I want to add that, Kathy, Scarlatos and Zonarich is in Harrisburg, but a member of the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce, available for our members if they have any HR questions, any HR issues that she can help advise on.
When they have these kinds of issues. All right, well, fantastic. We're going to let go of the commercial break that we normally have at this time, but I'll do one of my live reads. You all will stay a little bit past 9:06. All right, fantastic. John's the boss, so he can go back anytime he darn well wants to. Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line will be open during the 9 a.m. hour, and it is sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy in Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Danville Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg, and the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop. They want to remind you what we're talking about here today, that the way you spend your money matters. You buy local. Every dollar spent locally gets spent locally 10 times over. You can support many people in your local community by supporting your local hometown pharmacies. You spend that dollar there. Those employees and the bosses spend it in the local hometown because they favor local hometowns too. Nobody takes it to the big box until it's been rattled around the town at least 10 times. And then it goes to China, and that's the end of that dollar, and we don't get it back. But nonetheless, shop in your hometown. Your hometown pharmacy will be happy to see you. Terry, Tyler, Steve, Cassie, Jennifer, and Brad, just among the few folks that will be happy to see you at a hometown pharmacy. This is WDKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Ben Reichle.
You were saying, buddy?
Welcome to the Bob Garrett Show. Bob Garrett, president and CEO of the Chamber of Commerce, is going to take On the Mark for the next 10 minutes.
You have a cough button over
and
there.
Show you what the Chamber is doing.
Push his cough button.
Chamber's conflict.
Good morning. Good morning. You're on the Mark, and I thought a very interesting guest there, and we'll have some more guests coming up. I think Joe Kantz. But, Mark, interesting. And this is the part when people say, what does government do or doesn't do for you, and the regulations and things? And we'll get into it. But John, you're cringing a little bit. Bob, you're trying to interpret it. And Mark, you're just hoping for that management overtime, right?
Well, I don't know.
As Mr. Haddon is now scratching his head, going,
yeah,
"Hold on, what?"
I don't know that Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation has the reserves for that. But no, I'm happy to have the conversation. But I see why small businesses are nervous about it, because you really rely. Like in June, I could probably get away with working 30 hours a week, and in the fall, I'm probably working 60 hours a week.
You lose flexibility. You lose. Mm-hmm. You lose just the
exactly.
way you hire people you trust and allow them to excel. You lose
your options are limited,
right?
And to some degree, this is a solution or looking for a problem. There is no problem. Mm. You know, they just need to stop.
Says the man.
And you know, this goes back to what we were talking about earlier, where we were saying if you have a simple answer, you probably don't understand the problem. This goes back to that. Is there's a reason why wages aren't moving. There's a reason why participation rate isn't getting higher, and it's because the pendulum swung just a little too far, and our economy is slightly overregulated. And all the chamber is trying to do is keep the fair in the Fair Labor Standards Act. All the chamber's trying to do is keep the participation in the participation rate. All the chamber's trying to do is in wages is to have a nice organic growth that at least wages are raising at the same rate, if not slightly faster, not a lot faster. We're not talking about inflation, but we want wages to raise at a rate that's at least equal to the inflation rate. That makes perfect mm-hmm. sense. Who can be against that? Every now and then, people will accuse chambers of commerce of being right wing or all we care about is the big businesses and that sort of thing. What people need to understand, and I think Kathy made really made great points here, is that when you push this side of the balloon that is small business, the other side has to give. And when it gives, it's not always
the old
a positive
balloon thing. Analogy. Right. I've heard it many times.
Well, if there isn't business, is there a labor force? I mean, you know, where do workers go to work? Businesses. So which came first? The workers or the business?
Yeah. You can't be for jobs and against business.
Exactly.
How many times have we heard it?
Exactly.
All right. You are listening to On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. You are welcome to call us immediately, 1-800-795-9565. 1-800-795-9565. The toll-free line is sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy in Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Danville Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. Throughout our program, you are welcome to email us at onthemark@wkok.com, and you can text us at 70236. We're talking about joblessness. The jobless number is currently 3.9%. We've added 201,000 jobs to the U.S. economy, but the labor participation rate, the very definition of bouncing along the bottom, back down to 62.7. Lawrence's worthless analysis was that is at least partially responsible, because you got a lot of big-time earners from the past, or sort of middle-class earners from the past, still unemployed. And I think Ben said the statement, are they unemployed for 10 years? And I know men around here who have been unemployed for 10 years because they will not work for $10 an hour.
So they're living off the government dole? Or
no, they're done
savings?
With that, but they got 401ks, they got savings, okay. They got spouses that are working, they got the same car they had 10 years ago, you name it. They downsize their house,
okay.
They live a simpler life.
But but that's their choice then, not to get back
yeah.
into it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So getting back, now, are after 10 years, are their skills still where they need to be to come
negative.
Back to the workforce?
Absolutely not. See, they're on the outs now in every way.
That's tough. That's a tough
We have a caller on the line. Lance, you're on the mark.
Hey there. Why, when they start talking about wages, well, where does that 3% tax cut that everybody got fit in? I'm looking here, and I'm just, think of my own situation. This is a taxpayer of a couple of median income. And I find out...
Did you
out
say a couple of million or a couple of median income?
Couple of median income.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Okay. Sorry about that. But anyway, I'm looking at somewhere around an increase of $2,500 just on that.
And your question is, Lance?
Well, how come nobody mentions this? How come when they're on the radio, except on the
accursed
products?
It's a positive. It's a positive for this administration. My gosh, you think that the media is going to mention positives? For the most part, no. But and most of the tax cuts which are taking place now, most people will see the once they file the returns next year, they'll see it based on this. But from a business side, John, you're seeing the incentives already in the tax cut.
Right.
Yeah. And nobody seems to mention that.
Well, what do you think? Why? You know, this administration will not get positives, and people will have to, like yourself, call in and say that. But the part of this is, as Bob Garrett was talking about, is the regulations and the bureaucracy and the red tape, and we're starting to see it here in these type of this is a ploy to get either more union members or now, since they can't do it through their unions, government regulations to increase, and hopefully then unions will increase their memberships for some reason. So it's interesting to see where this came from and where it will be going.
Lance, if I can jump in, this is Bob Garrett. You know, before these shows, we do a lot of show prep, and I always get input from our chamber's economist, a fellow by the name of Anabar Basu. He's with the Federal Reserve in Baltimore, and I want to read to you exactly what he says that supports your comments. And he says during 2017, the national economy created 182,000 jobs on average per month, but there's been a marked acceleration in 2018. The first 7 months of this year have averaged 215,000 new jobs per month, thanks to the strong economy. Tax cuts are continuing to buoy sentiment and activity, and most projections are that the economy is likely to expand a further at least 3 to 3.5% this current quarter. So the economists agree with you, Lance. It's just it's just that the national media hasn't caught up with you quite yet.
I mean, talking Bernie Sanders, I'd call that the half-truth on wages, which he's great at.
Lance, when this show's over, I'm going to edit out all the good news from the show for the archive, so that it'll be all bad news.
Yes.
Well, just on the news that was over your station, they said that wages on an annually adjusted thing were up 2.9%.
Yeah, which is positive.
We talked about that.
But it's not keeping up with inflation, as Bob said. And what you want to do is be equal to or better than inflation.
Well, inflation is projected at 2%. That is, really, guys.
No, I think
it's now starting. It was a 2% first quarter. There's some belief that we're moving into an inflationary period.
Yes.
Well, and it depends on what you're looking at. Some prices go up, you know, food and produce prices go up a lot, and, you know, maybe gasoline's probably cheaper.
We're not saying it's not going to be higher, but that's where you want to be. So if it is at 2% and it's 2.9%, that's an 0.9% increase in wages, so that's a positive.
All right. Thank you so much, Lance. Appreciate the call. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. 1-800-795-9565. Let's say goodbye to our chamber guests, and we'll get some closing comments from them. Then we got Joe Kantz going to call us before too long here, and we'll wrap that up. We have Ben Reichle with us, one of our local Republican committee person, a local committee person. He's a businessman. Bob Garrett's president and CEO of the chamber. Bob.
Yep. Mark, just want to say thanks one more time. The kind of conversation you just heard on the radio is what we'll be talking about today at lunch, and we talk about every day with our committees. Chamber has a couple of big activities coming up this month. I just mentioned Anabar Basu. He will actually be here for our annual economic forecast luncheon sponsored by the Geisinger. That this year will be on Wednesday, September 19th. We're out at Rusty Rail. As of yesterday, we're down to about 20 seats left. So if you want to engage in these kind of economic discussions and get the information directly from the guy that is steering the economy or helping to steer the economy, please come September 19th at the Rusty Rail. Rail, gsvcc.org to sign up. Just one or two other quick things. Next Wednesday, Chef's Place Soiree. We'll be raising money for the new Chef's Place training kitchen in Milton. That's on the 12th. On the 21st is our joint legislative breakfast that we do with the Central Pennsylvania Chamber, the county commissioners, including Joe Kantz. We'll be the speakers of that. Maybe Joe will say something about that earlier. And then later this month, we have our annual golf tournament. It's sold out, so we won't be able to have you. I can't invite you to the golf tournament, but you could come by and enjoy a beautiful day at Knoebels golf course. And we have several other events. I'd love to have you go to our website, gsvcc.org, for more information.
All right. Thank you so much. John, anything to add to our whole discussion?
One more thank you to Kathy for joining us. It was very insightful. I think it speaks to many of the challenges small businesses, but very businesses much. In general, deal with. It's what the Chamber is focused on as a resource. So I look forward to Kathy's continued conversation this afternoon. It is a challenge.
I'll go back and listen to it this afternoon in slow motion, right, and I'll figure out what she said. So that would be wonderful. Thank you so much, man. Good luck with your big meeting.
Thank you so much. Take a quick
break. Joe Kantz is standing by. We'll be right back.
If you want to have a fun day and have less than perfect credit, you have to drive a Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai. Sunbury Motors Hyundai has 17 2018 Hyundai Elantras picked out for anyone who has less than perfect credit. Every new Hyundai comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile bumper-to-bumper warranty and Hyundai Assurance. Sunbury Motors Hyundai will work hard to get you approved on a brand new Hyundai Elantra. Bankrupt, divorced, slow pay should not be an issue at Sunbury Motors Hyundai. Why settle for a used vehicle when you can bring your bruised credit to Sunbury Motors Hyundai? 17 2018 Hyundai Elantras picked out for anyone who has less than perfect credit. If you want to have a fun day and have less than perfect credit, you have to drive a Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai. Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the black building on North 4th Street in Sunbury. 17 2018 Hyundai Elantras picked out for anyone who has less than perfect credit. If you want to have a fun day and have less than perfect credit, you have to drive a Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai.
All right, welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the mark, we have another scheduled guest here. We're going to get back to our jobless numbers. We have an email we haven't gotten to yet related to that. We had a caller that we put on standby related to joblessness and unemployment, so we'll revisit that. But we're lucky enough right now, Joe Kantz, chairman of the Snyder County Commissioners Board, is back on the news line today. Good to hear from you, sir. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you, Mark, for allowing me to take a little bit of time this morning.
Do appreciate that. Resourceful Snyder County folks will be able to see his name on a ballot next year. So remember that name if you want to vote against him. Now's your chance to try to remember that. Go ahead and try.
Another guy, right?
Yeah, go ahead and try and see what happens. All right. But you're here to tell us today about an active shooter training that's coming up. You still have some room in the classroom for that. So start at the beginning. Tell us about this effort.
Sure. So next Monday there will be, and this is a brand new training for Snyder County. It's titled Snyder County Houses of Worship Active Shooter Response Training. Now we can look at the number of unfortunate shootings we've had in our country, and you can pretty much determine that for the most part, most of them are where there are large numbers of people gathered together, whether it be in a school or an event. And so ever since 9/11, we've changed our mindset to be looking for these potential terrorist attacks and problematic situations when we either have evildoers who are looking to cause terror, or we have folks that have mental health issues that just get out of control. And those are usually the two types of terrorist attacks that we faced. So we want to be responsive to that and responsible for the community. And so what we've done is our emergency management folks in Snyder County are working along with the U.S. Department of Homeland Security to really start to get people to think about, okay, if I belong to a house of worship or something that has a large group of people at an event, have we considered an action plan or a plan of action for the possibility of an active shooter? And the time to plan is not after an event happens, like something like this happens. So we really just want to get people to start to think about those situations I know a number of churches in our area and houses of worship that do have action plans, have someone looking out for, you know, for people that could be causing harm to their members or their folks gathered in an event. So this is going to happen next Monday, September the 10th. There's going to be two sessions, Mark. We have had a very good response, by the way, for this, but there still is some room left. And so we want to make sure that those folks that may not have heard about it get a chance to know that it's going to happen. The first session will be at the Middle Creek Area Community Center, the MAC, in Beaver Springs at 10 a.m. So we've had a number of folks who are retired who attend different houses of worship sign up for this course, which is great. We have a very good response for that event. And the second session will be Monday evening at the Community Action Agency building at the Snyder County East building at 713 Bridge Street in Sealands Grove. That will be held from 5 until 8 p.m.
All right.
And
well, and I can see, you know, you have individuals from outside the church that people might want to be worried about, but you also have individuals who might be a member of the church who end up, for whatever reason, you know, with this interest in causing harm to other people. You know, if probably in your whole life and all the churches you've been to, Joe, singing and whatever else, you know that sometimes people get irritated about this or that, and so, you know, maybe that could set somebody off. So you want to be prepared
for
this.
Sure, Mark, and that's the thing. I mean, you know, when we're dealing with folks who have a great deal of mental health issues, you know, let's face it, we could be next to them every day, and we may not know what they're dealing with. And so it's important for us to be prepared at all times. And granted, I was an Eagle Scout, so be prepared is something that I live with every day. But, you know, we need to be prepared. We need to be constantly looking out. And, you know, I'm sure anyone who's a parent, you know, you're always constantly watching your kids, watching what's going on around them. At least I do, because, you know, that's my life. I want to make sure that I'm protecting my children and the folks around me. So always looking around you to be aware of what's happening.
Joe, what is the agenda, though? Or is there an end to this? Is it going to be, you know, what happens if a shooting takes place? Or is this for preventative reasons?
Sure. No, great question, Ben. So the training, really, I'll give you just a brief description of the training. It's a three-hour presentation. It's going to provide active shooter preparation and response. So, you know, and again, we can never foresee every possible scenario that can unfold, but we do need to be thinking about possible scenarios so that we can react if there is something that happens. We're going to just go over best practices that are tailored for specifically houses of worship and open venues. We'll discuss the personalities that perpetrate these attacks. So is it someone with mental health? Is it somebody who is truly a terroristic type mentality, who's out to do evil and create terror at an event? We'll talk about the individual organizational preparation, response, recovery, resources, and then at the end of the presentation, we will also offer an opportunity, and even after the presentations down the road, we will offer those folks who are in attendance or who they talk to about this training, we will be willing to work with those places, with our emergency management, to help them start to develop a plan of action so that they have a plan implemented for this type of thing.
So will you be giving out signs when they leave so people can go back to their venues or churches, whatever that may, that say, insured by Smith & Wesson? I mean, the greatest deterrent to these is, you know, unfortunate folks that have these problems, whatever they may be, is, you know, a person,
a good man
with a gun, as we saw in Texas, and unfortunately, you know, we don't, you know, these people aren't too heroic when they're confronted with what they're doing, but you know, it's sort of a sad state of affairs that you have to do this, but in a way, it's making people aware of what can happen.
This is something, Ben, that I've been looking at for a number of years. If you think way back to the church shooting in Colorado, which was probably over 10 years ago now at this point, I had family members relatives who attended that church. And even back then, they had a plan in action. If you remember, it was a female security guard for the church that actually stopped the perpetrator. And that was a number of years ago, long before a lot of churches would have ever given thought to something like this. So it is important. And, you know, as it doesn't matter if it's a church or an organization that has people come together, you need to be prepared for certain things. And this is just one of the many things that we need to be thinking about and preparing for as responsible citizens.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Joe. We appreciate the update. Where can we get more information if we're interested in signing up?
So you can email, if you'd like to sign up for this, you can email T. Schall, that's T-S-C-H-O-L-L, at snydercounty.org, or you can call the Snyder County Emergency Management Agency. That number is 570-452-7012. Try and call them today try and call them today if possible. But we will have room for last-minute attendees, but we'd love to have your name ahead of time so we can prepare for your attendance at this workshop.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Joe. Appreciate the call, and thanks for thinking of this. And, very important that everybody be prepared and have a plan. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
I do appreciate that. Joe
Have
Kant,
a great weekend.
Thank you. Joe Kant, Snyder County Commissioner Chair, and does a lot of singing with the group True Heart. They go to a lot of churches, so he's been to a lot of churches with the performance. We're going to take another quick break, but we now have open phones. 1-800-795-9565 is the telephone number. 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemarketwkok.com.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. No, not the holidays. I'm talking about back to school. The sound of the pencil sharpener as it makes the perfect point. The satisfying smell of a fresh box of crayons. Organizing my backpack so everything I need is right at my fingertips. I'm a busy kid in a busy family, so time management is a must. We don't have time to waste waiting for hours for our prescriptions. So Mom calls ahead to our hometown pharmacy. They get our refills ready and boom, we're in and out fast. Just like me on the soccer field.
Discover the hometown pharmacy difference today at Lewisburg Pharmacy, North 2nd Street, Lewisburg. Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Route 35, Mount Pleasant Mills. Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, Market Street, Bloomsburg. Norrie Pharmacy, Duke Street, Northumberland. Trotz Pharmacy, Walnut Street, Mifflinburg. And the Danville Pharmacy, Mill Street, Danville.
I know what you're thinking. Most 9-year-olds don't feel this way about school. My parents hope my excitement lasts until at least the actual holiday break. I say it'll last our year. I got this.
Welcome back to the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. Mark Lawrence here. It's open phones right now. Call us 1-800-795-9565. We probably have some pent-up demand here for people who want to call in.
Yeah. That's right.
Ben Reichling is across me, a local businessman, a Republican committee person. Rob Center is more fabulouser by the day. We appreciate that. Matt Cotrillo is the clackety-clacker by the day. Mm-hmm. He's over in the newsroom.
Matt and Rob are happy as can be from the Eagles.
Oh, they're Eagles fans. Yeah, Matt stayed up all night. He came in all groggy. Strangely enough, in the newsroom, Matt stayed up all night watching the Eagles, and it was me who overslept this morning. I didn't get here until 5 o'clock. So.
Oh, and you're usually here at 4:30.
Well, a little bit early. Well, a little bit before 5. So, yeah, I didn't comb my hair or anything. I looked terrible. But in any event, that's who's cooking over there. So they're both happy today. Some very brief news headlines. The Millersburg Area School District, the very latest to have issues in the school as it relates to the environment. Their Lankerville Elementary School closed today for air quality testing. Students have the day off, but teachers are to report to the secondary complex.
And take deep breaths as they come in, right?
Don't. Hold your breath. A suspended Northumberland police officer suing the borough, Officer Ed Cope, filed the suit August 27th, seeking judgment, seeking reinstatement and back pay. He filed the suit against the police chief and the mayor, saying they didn't report an incident of a man sexting his 13-year-old daughter, and as a result, that's a child line violation. You can read more about that at WKOK.com. The Cleveland Indians have bowed to political correctness and have removed the Chief Wahoo logo from the sleeve of their uniforms after a 4-game series in Toronto. And the decision to nix the logo was partially driven by a failed legal challenge against the team when they played in Toronto during the 2016 AL Championship game. And the coup of publishing a column by an anonymous Trump administration official bashing the boss could backfire on the New York Times. That's if the author is unmasked and turns out to be a little-known person, or if the newspaper's own reporter solve the puzzle within hours of the essay appearing on the paper's website. The mystery of the writer's identity began to rival the Watergate-era hunt for Deep Throat in Washington, and a parade of Trump team members issuing statements Thursday saying, in effect, "Not me." The Times' only clue was calling the author a senior administration official, plus the individual used the word lodestar several times, which is not an often used word. The President Donald Trump calls whomever did it gutless.
Yeah, it's, again, anonymous sources. And we got to remember, groups were out to make sure this person, Donald Trump, was not going to be the Republican nominee. Once he was the nominee, he wasn't going to get elected. Once he was elected, he wasn't going to be sworn in. And now, once he's president, he needs to be removed. So,
why wasn't he going to be sworn in?
Well, it's groups who were protesting him and trying to not get him. So at each level, since Trump got involved in the campaign, there's been groups and people trying to make sure the next step didn't happen. But the New York Times credibility, and here's the real swing here, Mark. This is the New York Times editorial doing an anonymous source editorial. I mean, that the editorial board doing this, that's extreme in itself. The other part is now the New York Times reporters who are in Washington, are they going to grassroots this out? Are they going to do journalism to try to find out who this source is? So we'll see. But, yeah, it makes no sense for any administration to have this happening to them. But, again, talking earlier, look at the forces and look at the groups and look at the just actions by the people against this administration, and look at the actions that's happened in this Supreme Court hearings. You know, this is abysmal. I mean, Senator Cory Booker from New Jersey, I mean, a.k.a. Spartacus, when this information was cleared at 4 a.m. and he made it like he was some sort of martyr and was falling on the sword, and yeah, I am Spartacus moment. Senator Booker, it got you what you needed. It got you on TV, and maybe you can start your 2020 presidential election campaign based on that. But, you know,
is he running? Is he?
He supposedly is one of them, Kamala Harris. But I am Spartacus.
All right.
Redone. Maybe they'll make the movie.
1-800-795-9565. So we have an open day. We can talk about the president's op-ed piece, or I guess it's an op-ed piece about the president. We talked about the jobless numbers and the labor participation rate a little bit earlier. We also talked about active shooter potentialities in houses of worship, and subsequently the fact is that you have to prepare for this, and so there's a session set up by Snyder County Emergency Management and other folks that takes place on Monday, so Joe Kantz talked about that. On the topic of wages, one of our listeners says, my granddaughter worked at a local fast food restaurant. She was hourly at $10 an hour. She was promoted to assistant manager, salaried at $500 a week, but was expected to work 50 hours weekly and had to explain when she didn't. I think this is a great example of your call-in specialist, says Margaret. Yeah, I think you get a lot of people in the same shoes, where people don't want to work tons and tons of uncompensated overtime.
Well, it's two things here. I think McDonald's is the fast food restaurant that has a very interesting campaign that says, is it a great first job type, whatever their slogan is at the end of their commercial, and I think that says it right here. But there's two parts here. If you get promoted and you know the details of your descriptions, like, you know, what's your job description going to be, and if you net it out and say, hold it, I'm going to have to oversee some people, but I'm not going to be making any more money, that's a legitimate negotiation with the person who's trying to promote you. On the other hand, you might say, okay, listen, I'm going to have to take this job, do a little bit more work, but this is a resume builder. So when I go for my next job, I can say, yes, I started as a line worker, and I got, and you know, I did a good job there, and I got promoted to assistant manager. So then when you go for your, when you're building your resume, you know, these are some steps you have to take. Maybe you have to go a little sideways or a little backwards to get the bigger leap on the next job. So there's numbers of ways to look at this.
All right, Bobby, last caller before a quick break. You're on the mark.
Yes, I have a question concerning wages. Like back in the 70s when I first started working, of course, the minimum wage was $1.90 an hour. And then very shortly after that, there was price and wage control. But I don't know if that was instituted by the federal government or the state government, whatever. But it lasted maybe for like a year or so. And I think, you know, at that point, you know, consideration was, you know, for the worker and then, you know, for the prices that were paid for everything. Would that help now possibly?
I believe you're talking about in the Nixon administration, and it was a economic...
Or Gerald Ford.
Well, right in that era, it was disastrous. Also, you know, look at Nixon taking the United States off the gold standard, the positives and negatives there. But I don't believe we're in the same ballpark here, Bobby, on the discussions there as far as what we've just had the caller earlier here in the show discussing. It's a little bit different scenarios.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. Promised a quick
I believe
break.
That.
We'll be right back.
If you want to have a fun day and have less than perfect credit, you have to drive a Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai. Sunbury Motors Hyundai has 17 2018 Hyundai Elantras picked out for anyone who has less than perfect credit. Every new Hyundai comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile bumper-to-bumper warranty and Hyundai Assurance. Sunbury Motors Hyundai will work hard to get you approved on a brand new Hyundai Elantra. Bankrupt, divorced, slow pay should not be an issue at Sunbury Motors Hyundai. Why settle for a used vehicle when you can bring your bruised credit to Sunbury Motors Hyundai. 17 2018 Hyundai Elantras picked out for anyone who has less than perfect credit. If you want to have a fun day and have less than perfect credit, you have to drive a Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai. Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the black building on North 4th Street in Sunbury. 17 2018 Hyundai Elantras picked out for anyone who has less than perfect credit. If you want to have a fun day and have less than perfect credit, you have to drive a Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai.
All right, welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the mark. We got the most patient men in the world on the news line with us now. We'll start out with Lance. You get another minute of fame. Thank you so much for waiting and calling in. We've talked about the jobless economy. We've talked about mass shootings at churches. We have talked about a wide range of topics. What's in your mind?
Well, mass shootings part. Last year, 2017, there were 106 precious souls who met their end at a mass shooting, okay? During that same time, there was another group of individuals that met their death at 1,100 number, okay? Now, we
That's
want to...
That's a much bigger number.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Now, what we're talking about here is that the individuals that caused the 1,100, we want more and more and more of. And, of course, the 106... We want to lift heaven and earth to stop. Now, why is our focus such as it is?
What
I'm talking about are people who shouldn't be here in the first place commit 1,100 murders. We're talking about illegal aliens.
I got you. Well, maybe because we need landscapers and stuff like that, and they're part of the U.S. economy. They're woven into the economy. Do they commit a disproportionate number of crimes? Let's stipulate that being in the country illegally isn't a crime. Just for this statistic, do they commit a disproportionate number of crimes?
Well, no, but the guns that you want to ban are less deadly than bricks. Okay? So on that thing, well, because bricks and blunt objects kill more people when used as a weapon than what they do, why then we should make sure we don't ban those so-called assault weapons.
We don't have the right priorities, in other words.
That's what I'm talking about.
All right, we got you.
They're 10 times more deadly, but...
All right, okay. Thank you so much, Lance. Appreciate the call. Dan, you're on the mark. Thanks for calling in. The exclamation on your comment is winning.
Right. Let me ask you and Ben both, are you guys tired of winning yet?
I think the positives... And in a lot of ways have outweighed the negatives to a certain degree. And also, sometimes the change is hard for people to understand, especially the people in Washington that have lived for decades and decades, if not generations, under the bureaucracy of Washington and the Beltway attitudes of Washington. I think those people, their gravy train is starting to leak or slow down to the point where now they're getting concerned, and that's the Democrats, the Independents, the Republicans, the Liberals, you know, whatever you want to put the party in, but that Beltway bureaucracy group that feeds off the trough of government is getting concerned. So they're not their definition of winning is probably not what most of America in the middle is, not the left coast and the right coast.
Yeah, you're right, Ben, and that's why I believe that people out here in middle America, we're winning every day. We're winning more. And I believe that's why we're going to have a red wave this fall in the election. And I've talked to people this week in an investment institution. I won't mention any names. I was talking with them for a while. We're doing some business, and you know, I dropped some buzzwords to find out where they were on the Trump administration. Boy, once they unloaded, they believe it's the best thing that's happened in this country for many years. Both of them agreed, and then we got talking. We had a bull session for over 1 hour. And they're very positive in their institution, what's going on in America and how the financial part of our country's growing. And they're very enthused. So it's not just us, what they call the deplorable Wally World shoppers. It's also many highly trained professionals are as excited about the Trump changes as us so-called stinking Wally World shoppers.
Well, you know, and I think it's safe to say a high tide raises all ships. You know, even if you're a Democrat and you're unhappy and you're miserable, you have to be happy that the economy's growing and your 401k is going up and finally your wages are nudging upward a little bit, or you know, you hope you're on that bandwagon. If your wages aren't going up and you're not getting a better job, then you know, maybe you need to be in a different company or to, you know, to job hunt or to get some more education, or maybe the nearest place to find what's wrong with your economy is the mirror and see, you know, what, you know, am I just staying at this job because I don't want to change? Or you know, I think it's there's a lot going on. If you were forced to say something negative about our economy, you know, like I won't let you off the phone unless you say something bad about the economy, what would you say? I mean, you don't have the kind of manufacturing segment that you used to, so maybe that's bad.
No, it's growing. No, the manufacturing
segment
is growing.
Okay, fantastic. Okay, good. So
and look at the breakdown. Look
fewer union jobs, maybe those are family-sustaining wages, so maybe that's bad. Maybe you want wages to go up faster, or you want inflation to be nothing, or something along that line.
Well, remember, this has happened, what, in 20 months, roughly, 21 months?
Didn't the economy begin to recover during the Obama administration?
Well, it recovered, but what's recovering, define it. I mean, it plateaued out, and it has a couple blurps here and there, and it's not done. But remember, the part for the Obama administration was already put in place by the Bush administration, the bailout in the banks, whatever you feel on that. That
Bush
was
took the big risk.
Yeah, that was already put in place. Obama just had to implement that, which, give him credit, the Obama administration implemented it. But again, we went through a plateau type of economy, and also, too, the Obama administration really didn't talk up the United States and its economic prowess. It seemed like, well, this is the new norm. We're only going to grow at 1.5 to 2%, maybe. You got to get used to it. Obama said himself, President Obama said himself, jobs aren't coming back, these aren't coming back, and we've seen under the Trump administration that these jobs can come back, and also you can go after and negotiate trade agreements that are agreements with this country and that country. But if you're, and I use this analogy, if the United States is the economic party and people want to come to it, and there's a cover charge to get in, okay, is that going to be a charge or not? And Trump doesn't want tariffs. He wants tariffs a lot. But then when another country has a party, the United States should be able to get in without having to pay a large cover charge to get its products in. So all the United States wants is equitable trade, and that's not 50-50. It might be for the country of Mark Lawrence. You know, you might say, hey, listen, you know, I need this for my country and that. And we'll say, okay, listen, we'll make an agreement with you that's 60-40. It's 60% good for you. It's 40%. On the other hand, we're not going to give you as much State Department aid. We'll cut you back a quarter percent. But anyway, Dan, your point is, there is a lot of positives, and people feel they're winning. And then remember, on the left and the progressives, they're just abysmal, sort of in a quagmire of just negativity.
Yes, I call them the negative Nellies of criticism. They can never, you know, all the positives, they never can say the positives. And I don't like to criticize anybody. And I mean this in a general way. You have callers call in this program. They can't even give President Trump credit for one good thing he's done. And I call them the negative Nellies of criticism. And I'd like to hear some of them at least give Trump credit for something.
One of them's on the line, so we'll talk to them next.
Okay, great talking, guys. Keep up the good work and have a wonderful weekend, both of you.
All right. Thank you so much. Yep. Appreciate that. Thank you calling in, Dan. We got one caller coming in, but we'll take more comers. Speedy dialers only, 1-800-795-9565. We have one of our listeners who sent us a note saying there's been some analysis about who the anonymous op-ed writer is. We'll talk about that when we come back.
If you want to have a fun day and have less than perfect credit, you have to drive a Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai. Sunbury Motors Hyundai has 17 2018 Hyundai Elantras picked out for anyone who has less than perfect credit. Every new Hyundai comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile bumper-to-bumper warranty and Hyundai Assurance. Sunbury Motors Hyundai will work hard to get you approved on a brand-new Hyundai Elantra. Bankrupt, divorced, slow pay should not be an issue at Sunbury Motors Hyundai. Why settle for a used vehicle when you can bring your bruised credit to Sunbury Motors Hyundai? 17 2018 Hyundai Elantras picked out for anyone who has less than perfect credit. If you want to have a fun day and have less than perfect credit, you have to drive a Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai. Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the black building on North 4th Street in Sunbury. 17 2018 Hyundai Elantras picked out for anyone who has less than perfect credit. If you want to have a fun day and have less than perfect credit, you have to drive a Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai.
All right, welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. Mark Lawrence here. Ben Reichle's with us. Cindy's on the phone. Thank you so much for calling in, Cindy. You're on the mark.
I forget. Good morning, gentlemen. I forget which of the callers you just asked them to say one bad thing about our economy.
Yeah.
And I would like to answer that question. I think there's still too much globalism. And I think that globalism.
How do you define globalism?
Well, let her go. Go ahead.
Globalism is when we are importing all of this stuff into our country, and then we're ignoring the consequences of that. Stuff we used to make, stuff we don't need. You know, look at all of those shipping containers that are piling up in California, and nobody wants to take them back. Look at the pollution of the seas of running all of this stuff back and forth. Look at all of the damage to our environment by insects that are inadvertently imported with all this foreign goods that come into the country, woolly algae, which is destroying the hemlock trees, the disease that took out Dutch blight, I think it's called, that took out the chestnut trees a century ago. You know, we have to learn from these things. The ash trees being destroyed in our country from an insect, Japanese beetles, you know. All of this importing has very negative consequences, from my perspective, to our country, and we need to get smarter about this.
Well, I think
may enrich a few people, but it hurts all of us.
No, I think that's what you're seeing this administration doing is they want equitable trade. I think you're always going to have trade between countries, but equitable trade will be sort of the standards. With what you're talking about, some of this stuff has happened for centuries. I mean, the ash borers, you see the fish, I can't think of the exact name of it, in Illinois and in some of the Great Lakes that jump out of the...
Or them flying carp.
Yeah, So, there's got to be some niggers that way. But it's interesting when I ask to define globalism, because that is a term that is defined so many ways by so many people.
Well, the other way I guess I would define it, Ben, is while I care about some people, I cannot possibly solve the problems of everyone. And so crushing me economically in a vain effort to do that is foolishness. And that includes 17 years in Afghanistan in a war for people who shoot and kill our soldiers as they stand there trying to defend them. That's what happened this week. The man was slaughtered by
a police person.
All right, we got to go. Thank you so much, Cindy. Really
Thanks.
Appreciate the call. All right, On the Mark, brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company, a family-owned dealership since 1915. Go do as I've done on Lincoln Street between 4th Street or along 4th Street between Lincoln and Jefferson. You can save a few Washingtons, and that's on 4th Street in Sunbury. Or you can go to Runyon Road over on Routes 11 and 15 at Homeless Wharf, site of the Biff Burger, and that's where the Kia dealership is. Ernie and Austin will take good care of you there. Put you in a vehicle with the highest owner brand loyalty of any vehicle made in America.
And you get a quart of old Biff Burger sauce if you buy a new Kia this weekend.
They'll take good care of you, I guarantee you, in every way. And they just want you to make sure that you're aware of the fact that they got Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln cars and trucks, super prices, super trade-in values, super reliability, super quick lane, super body shop, super car wash, you name it, it's super.
It's super, yeah.
Sunbury Motor Company. Thanks for coming in, buddy.
Yeah, thanks. Have a good weekend. You're off next week.
Yep, I'll be off.
Undisclosed destination.
Well, I'll do a little staycation, so we'll make some day trips and so on. But you and Chad Hershberger next Friday, an appointment.
Okay.
We'll
look
see
forward
you
to it. Have a good weekend.
Thank you. This is News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.